Glory, 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 somebody touched me. It was the hand of the Lord. I don't know why that went in my head when he said, say glory to God. I was just, I feel like John here. So,
I won't stay. Did you hear about the guy from West Virginia that carpeted his bathroom?
Yeah.
He'd like heard all about it all the way up to the house.
Let's pray. Lord, just bless this word and use it to the nourishment of our spirits. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. So, where'd my message go? There it is. Just review that a little bit. Have you all heard these terms? Most of them are in the Bible, they're biblical. And there's an example of this. The tree of life, which is Christ, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. We can walk by faith or we can walk by sight. We can be spiritual Christians or we can be carnal Christians. We can walk in the spirit, we can walk in the flesh. We can put on the new man and hopefully put off the old man. You know, these concepts like this. And in Genesis 16, Abraham went into Hagar and had Ishmael. You know, he was trying to fulfill the promise in his flesh. And it wasn't because of lust that he took Sarah's maid servant. It was because he thought God needed some help. Like he had promised an inheritance. He had promised descendants, and he wasn't getting them. And Galatians 4:23 says Ishmael was of the flesh. And then Galatians 4:30 says, cast out the bondwoman and her son. And so thinking you can be carnal, and Abraham could be carnal, right? And you can think with God. You can walk by faith. You can live in the spirit. You can put on the new man. And Genesis 15:5-6, Isaac was promised, and Abraham believed the Lord, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. And so Galatians 4:23 says it was through the promise. Verse 29 says, according to the Spirit. So Abraham was led by the Spirit much of the time, but not all the time. That's one thing I love about the Bible is it shows their warts and all. You know, it shows like Abraham's faults, his failures, and then it shows him walking by faith. And like he falls and then he gets back up or he's redirected. And so to describe him, you'd say he was a man of faith, but he was off sometimes. He was not carnal, but sometimes he was, right? And so Paul described the Corinthians as carnal. That's how he described this church, as carnal. These are believers. These are Christians. He described them as carnal. They have many, many problems. Division being one of them. Accepting and not correcting open sexual deviant behaviors in the church. Abusing the gifts. Like speaking out of turn or speaking when they should be quiet. And every believer has to deal with the old man, the old sin nature, the flesh, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and attempting to be good without the Spirit. And Galatians 5:22 says the fruit of the Spirit is love. And that's what Paul was saying that they had a problem with. They weren't walking in the Spirit and they weren't showing love. And so the Old Testament can be our example, right, of this. And sometimes you think not, because the Holy Spirit, Jesus sent the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit lives in me, but there was special anointings back in the Old Testament. Like something was different, right? But it gives us these examples like Abraham with Hagar and Sarah as the flesh and the Spirit. And they had to, you know, ever since the fall of Adam and Eve, there was the tree of knowledge of good and evil, right? They had that aspect, the old sin nature. And so remember Jonathan's message? The most vivid part was the squirrel on the wire. You know, he looked, and there's all these squirrel pancakes. And then the one squirrel goes up the wire and over and back down. He learned from the other squirrel's behavior, right? And so, like, 1 Corinthians 10, we learn, like, these things were written for our examples, and we're learning from the behavior. And so the Bible uses Hagar as an example of the flesh and Sarah as an example of the Spirit. And they could operate under the tree of knowledge of good in this instance and fulfilling the promise of Isaac, right? They could operate in the tree of knowledge of good and evil, the tree of knowledge of good, or they could operate under the tree of life, which is the Spirit. And so we can learn from these Old Testament figures. So I'm going to talk about the story of David, and I was thinking, you know, I bet all the women in the congregation know this story better than me, because they do all these women's studies and they focus on great women of the Bible and everything. But it's the story of David, and Abigail's in the story. So I'm sure you guys have studied that, but the men, they haven't studied it so much. And so, like, it's a really amazing story. So David sent his, I'll tell you a brief synopsis and then we'll kind of go through it. So David had fled from King Saul, who's trying to kill him, and he has a band of men and they're warriors. And Nabal had tons of sheep. I think it was 3,000 sheep. And Nabal's shepherds stayed close to David and his men during this season, and nobody attacked Nabal's shepherds. David didn't take any of the sheep, didn't harm them, and they were safe with David. So David came to a point where he needed food for his men, and he sent messengers to Nabal. And Nabal basically just blasted him and said, "I'm not giving you anything. Who are you?" And it said he was reviled. And then David got mad. He put on his sword. He took 400 men, and he went to take care of business. And he was going to kill all the men in Nabal's household, all his servants, shepherds, everything. And Abigail, Nabal's wife, came out and interceded. And then everyone was saved, and except Nabal in the end. But anyway, so we'll go through the story a little bit. David sent his men to ask Nabal. He had 3,000 sheep. This is 1 Samuel 25. I'm going to go through that. If you have your Bible, you might want to turn there. 1 Samuel 25, verse 2, 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. So that's quite a flock, quite a flock, to ask for some food for his men. David had 600 men. And to remind him that they camped among Nabal's men and protected them in the flocks and never took anything. So this is 1 Samuel 25, verse 5. David said to the young men, "Go up to Carmel, go to Nabal and greet him in my name. Say to him, 'Peace to you, peace to your house, and peace to all that you have.'" What a great blessing. Like Galatians 5:22, one of the aspects of the fruit of the Spirit is peace, right? And so, like, he's pronouncing peace on him, his house, his everything he has. And David was probably a little presumptuous in the response he thought he was going to get, right? He thought he knew what the outcome would be, that Nabal would be thankful and give him some food. He didn't think the answer would be no. But even if it was no, he probably thought it would be a gracious no. So I would say from that, like sometimes when we go out to bless people, they don't want to hear it. And like we can get offended at that and react. And like a rejection can turn into an offense, and all of a sudden your love might turn carnal, right? Love can turn into hate, or maybe not hate, but just like you're not thinking lovely thoughts after somebody rejected you, right? So we have to be careful of that. So 1 Samuel 25:10, Nabal said, "Who is David and who is the son of Jesse? There are many servants nowadays who break away from their master." Now, who is David? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? After he had slain Goliath, like everybody knew who David was. After they said Saul has slain his thousands and David has slain his 10,000s, like who is David? I mean, that's kind of in your face. And break away from your master. So he's judging David as a traitor. He's judging him as a traitor. And David, you know, his heart, when he cut the corner of Saul's robe, you know, he could have killed him. He could have taken him out. And then his heart was so sensitive, he apologized for it. You know, like, that's who David really is. And he's calling him a traitor. And he's a man after God's own heart, but yet he's disrespected. He's rejected. And he's disrespected to his men, and he took it personally. And I heard someone once say, if you want to see a man turn a solid believer, turn carnal real quick, just disrespect him. Disrespect him, and we can, like, flip and not walk in the Spirit. We can take it personally and women too. Women get offended too, but I'm saying like men. And I've actually seen it in a game of mini golf. You know, like where they're like busting on each other how the bad they play or something, and then they get all ruffled up. And it's like, but think about something like this. Like he's attacking who he is, his person. And he's saying like, who is David? Like you're a nobody, and you're a traitor. And 1 Samuel 25:12-13. So David's young men turned on their heels and went back, and they came and told him all these words. And then David said to his men, "Every man gird his sword." So every man girded on his sword, and David also girded on his sword. And about 400 men went with David, and 200 stayed with the supplies. Now, remember the story from 1 Samuel 30 about Ziklag, and they were going after the women and children and the stuff, and there were 200 men who were too tired to go across the creek. They were too tired to go on, and they stayed with the stuff. Isn't it interesting? You got 200 and 400. Were these the same 200 men that stayed behind? I don't know. But it's interesting how it's divided in 200 and 400. And then this is 1 Samuel 30 of the Ziklag incident. David says, "So shall his part be who stays by the supplies. They shall share alike." So it was from that day forward. He made it a statute and an ordinance for Israel to this day. So if anybody knows the story, God sent Abigail to give David grace in the chapter 25 story with Abigail and Nabal. And then he turns around in the Ziklag story and he gives others grace. You know, so now Nabal, did he already know what David had done for him? Surely he knew who David was. To say, who is David? You know, that's ridiculous. But he probably already knew what David had done for him. But when David's young men came, even if he didn't know, what should he have done? He should have called him over and asked him. But he didn't do that. And this is what his own men said when they told Abigail about the incident. 1 Samuel 25:14. Now one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, "Look, David sent messages from the wilderness to greet our master, and he reviled them." So that was like their perception of what Nabal had done to David's men. He reviled them. "But the men were very good to us, and we were not hurt, nor did we miss anything, as long as we accompanied them." So the shepherds were accompanying David's men. David's men weren't accompanying the shepherds. The shepherds came alongside of them for protection. "And when we were in the fields," they said, "they were a wall to us both by day and night. All the time we were with them keeping the sheep." Not all the time David's men were with us, but all the time we were with them. So David, a man after God's own heart, and then some believers think with God most of the time, right? And no one can be spiritually minded all the time because they have an old sin nature. And they're spiritually minded most of the time, but once in a while they're carnally minded. And then some believers, like the Corinthian church, are carnally minded most of the time. And once in a while, they're spiritually minded. Like you've heard the messages, don't just receive from God on Sunday, right? Like, walk with God all week, you know, once in a while. And like the Corinthians, "I have to talk to you as babes." Verse 18, "Then Abigail got together a bunch of food, enough to feed 600 men, evidently, if you read about it, all kinds of stuff, raisins, cakes. She sent it ahead and went out to meet David." And so I had a question, like, when they got back with the food to the camp, did some of David's men say at that time, those who stayed behind don't get any? I don't know. Because it was weird in the story about Ziklag in 1 Samuel 30, he said he made it a statue forever, like they're going to share, right? And he called them wicked and evil men. And maybe they said they didn't deserve it because they didn't go. You know, but actually, maybe they didn't go because they didn't want to commit murder. Maybe they were actually trying to hold David accountable, and it wasn't working. David was mad, and sometimes, we were talking about this yesterday, like sometimes people we meet, maybe it's somebody their mama and grandma has been praying that God will send another believer to talk to them because they're not listening to them, right? So like sometimes we don't listen to our own family or somebody close, and sometimes somebody close might not put it so gentle either. They'll just be like, "Yeah, you're wrong," you know? So maybe that was the case. We don't know, but if so, they would actually deserve it more than David. You know, because David got grace, and we'll see how David got grace and his men. But who got more grace? The 200 or David and the 400? So before Abigail met him, this was David's mindset. This is verse 21 to 22. David had said, "Surely in vain I've protected all this fellow has in the wilderness so that nothing was missed of all his belongings. And he has repaid me evil for good. May God do so and more also to the enemies of David if I leave one male of all who belong to him by morning light." He's a little upset. And you know what? When you first read the story up to this point, you could think, yeah, that Nabal guy, he's a jerk. How dare he say who is David and that David's a traitor? He deserves what he gets, right? We could be with David's 400 and being with David and be like, yeah, let's go get him, David. I agree. Or with the men. Remember Pastor Stan was preaching on the men by the creek, and it says those wicked and evil men said they're not going to get any of the spoils. They can only have their women and children, you know. And then he was like, it doesn't say what the rest of the 400 men were thinking or saying, but they might have been like, yeah, we did all the work. We went all that far. They don't get to share in the spoils. And then David said, and they're like, oh, yeah, he's right. Like, and sometimes that's how it is with us. We'll think one way, and then something spiritual will come up, and we'll realize, like, the Holy Spirit in us will agree. And we'll be like, yeah, wait a minute. This is the right thought on that subject. So, at this point in the story, we can't necessarily say he's in the flesh, but later in the story we'll look back and say he is. Another interesting point is he's invoking the name of God in his rant, right? And so he's working off of the good side of the tree of knowledge. God is with me. He's like, I'm with God. He's working off the good side of the tree of knowledge to rationalize working off of the evil side of tree of knowledge. I'm going to murder them. I'm going to get vengeance. Attacking a fellow Jew, taking him out, murder? Like, no. So now watch how Abigail deals with someone in the flesh who's been disrespected. Not just anyone, though. Someone who knows God and walks with God and normally is in the spirit. Right? And there's two ways, I kind of broke it down into two ways she starts to talk to him. And one is like, we could come just to reason with somebody. Right? I'm going to convince you and reason with you, and I'll use common sense. You're hopping mad. I'm not going to come out there hopping mad too. You're wrong, you know, like this, and come out there gentle, right? But then you'll see the second way, she speaks higher. She speaks to the finished work. She speaks to the promises of God. She speaks to things that only a mature believer would recognize, or a believer would recognize, you know, like somebody who's heard from God before. So it's not just that she shows him great respect. This is 1 Samuel 25:23-26. Now when Abigail saw David, she dismounted quickly from the donkey, fell on her face before David, and bowed to the ground. Now I'm sure that's a cultural thing, but it's still great respect, right? She jumped down and fell on her face and bowed to the ground. And it's not just that she unselfishly covered for other people's faults. Her husband, Nabal, and all the males in the house would have been killed. This is verse 24. So she fell at his feet and said, on me, my Lord, on me let this iniquity be. And please let your maidservant speak in your ears and hear the words of your maidservant. Or that she acknowledged that David was wronged. Verse 25. And I would say wronged in the culture, he was wronged, right? But she didn't mention like who was being more wrong at this point. She didn't say, yeah, you were wronged, but you're more wrong by wanting to kill him. She didn't do it yet. She's just telling him, I understand you've been wronged. Please let not my Lord, this is verse 25, please not let my Lord regard this scoundrel Nabal. For his name is, so is he, Nabal, which means stupid, is his name, and folly is in him. But I, your maidservant, did not see the young men of my Lord, whom you sent, and I was thinking, like, how easy it would have been for her to be free of Nabal. She could have just sat back and let David take Nabal out. And then David would have taken all the women and the stuff, and she would have been with David. But she was loyal to Nabal, because that was her husband, right? Even though she realized how dumb he was. And she's admitting it to David with a purpose and a goal. She's admitting it to get him out of the situation he's in. And it's also not just that she was gentle. She had a gentle, subtle appeal that David should not avenge himself in his own strength with murder. She's speaking the truth, and that this thought is from God. And I was thinking, this part here, I could have taken the "but" and put it up above that gentle appeal not to murder. Because listen to the verse. This is verse 26. "Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, since the Lord has held you back from coming to bloodshed and from avenging yourself with your own hand." Now David, if his men had told him, "No, don't do that," he could have, in his conscience, like, kind of known they were right, but been so mad he's charging forward with the other 400 who are saying, "Yeah, let's go get him." And her saying this is just like, just straight to the heart of the matter. The Lord has held you back. I'm not just here on my own accord. You know it's right. You know this is from God. And so the "but," you could raise it up above the general appeal not to avenge. But she speaks higher. She speaks higher. She speaks about godly things, and she brings in the Spirit, the word that he's already heard from God, that God had spoke to him personally, that he's going to be a king. She brings a carnally minded David into a spiritually minded David. And this is verse 28. "Please forgive the trespass of your maidservant, for the Lord will certainly make for my Lord an enduring house." And the CSB and NLT translate this, "a lasting dynasty. Because my Lord fights the battles of the Lord, and evil is not found in you throughout your days." Now, this is like very high statement to him, saying, "Evil is not found in you, and you fight the battles of the Lord." And you know this isn't a battle of the Lord to attack Jewish people, you know. So this is the new man, 1 Kings 15:5. David did not turn aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life. So, like, she's speaking this truth, that evil is not found in you throughout your days. That's speaking to his new man. Like, David was a man who, like, understood the finished work of God before Christ even went to the cross. When you read some of his writings, he was like, he lived in a higher plane. And then this is 2 Samuel 7:16. Nathan tells David, he prophesies to David, "Your house and your kingdom shall be established forever." Now, she said here that he would have an enduring house because the Lord fights the battle of the Lord, like a lasting dynasty. And then Nathan prophesies, "Your house and your kingdom shall be established forever." And when Nathan said that, was this like to David, like, that's a confirmation of what I've already heard? Like, this was something spiritual that she was saying to him, and he knew in his spirit it was true. And in verse 29, "Yet a man has risen to pursue you and seek your life." Who had risen to pursue David and seek his life? Not Nabal. It was Saul. And so she was basically saying, "You are not a traitor," as Nabal had said. You know, Saul is trying to kill you. You're just running from Saul. "But the life of the Lord shall be bound in the bundle of the living with the Lord your God." And I like this too. I didn't put this up there, but "in the lives of your enemies he shall sling out as from the pocket of a sling. You slew Goliath. I know who you are. Your enemies he'll sling out as from the pocket of a sling. And you're in the land of the living," or the bundle of the living. And it shall come to pass when the Lord has done for my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning you. God has spoken good concerning you. And David knew that. David knew that. He has appointed you ruler over Israel. Well, Saul's currently the ruler over Israel, but she's speaking to a truth that David knows that God told him and Samuel anointed him. That this will be no grief to you, or no regrets, nor offensive heart to my Lord, either that you have shed blood without cause, or that you have avenged yourself. Uh-oh. What'd I do? Okay. Verse 31. But when the Lord has dealt well with my Lord, then remember your maidservant. And so she comes, and David gets a word. He gets a reminder. As he's in the flesh and he's about to do something really stupid, he gets a reminder. And then later he's tested at Ziklag with that reminder in a couple different ways. Like you could like look at that, Ziklag's chapter 30. Reminding David of his calling. God spoke this concerning you. You're the ruler of Israel. She speaks of the finished work. So many things happen to us at the moment of salvation. We are a new creation. We're born again. We're a child of God. We're forgiven. We're in Christ, seated at the right hand of the Father in heavenly places. But like David being anointed king, we're called a new creation. But David wasn't experiencing it. He wasn't the king. And Nabal is like telling him, who are you? You're not the king. You're a traitor. And not only is he not experiencing it, his fellow Jews are telling him words against what God has spoken to him. And here comes Abigail and speaks higher. She speaks above the situation. And we need someone to remind us of truth. We need people to do that. We need to remind each other of truth. And so 1 Samuel 25:33, David says, blessed is the God of Israel who sent you. And David recognized this. David recognized God sent Abigail to stop me from doing this thing, from getting like innocent blood on my hands. For no males would have been left. Go up in peace to your house. See, I've heeded your voice and respected your person to Abigail. And so that like we could stop there, right? I'll just go a little bit further, just a little bit. Just hang on. So 1 Samuel 25:36. Now Abigail went to Nabal, and he was having a feast like a king, and he was really drunk. And it says, she told him nothing, little or much, until morning light. So Abigail hastened to go talk to David. Right? But with Nabal, she waited. So that takes wisdom to know the difference. When to act and when to wait. And then there's another scenario that isn't in the story. Sometimes you don't say anything, right? But we need wisdom to be able to know. And in the morning she told him, his heart died within him. He could have been killed and it sunk in. David and all his men showed up with swords. And then 10 days later, the Lord struck Nabal, and he died. And it's like, so not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And this is what David says at that. When he heard that Nabal was dead, he said, blessed be the Lord who has pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal, and he has kept his servant from evil. For the Lord has returned the wickedness of Nabal on his own head. So the first one, he's speaking to Abigail. He's telling Abigail, blessed be the Lord who sent you. Like, I recognize this is a word from God, and he sent you. And the second one, he's crying out to God. He's like speaking to God. It's like a praise or a prayer. And he's saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So instead of being the type of believer who's carnally minded most of the time and spiritually minded sometimes, let's be like Abraham and David, who are spiritually minded most of the time, And we have a flesh. Let's face it. We can't help but be carnally minded sometimes. But let's try to think with God most of the time. And let's hang out with other people who are spiritually minded most of the time. And that way, when we get carnally minded, they can encourage us. They can speak things higher to us. Like, maybe actually David's men, and we don't know what that 200 that stayed behind had said, but maybe they confronted about it, and they were in the flesh too. When they told him not to go, like if they told him not to go, you know, like, but other people can build us up in the spirit and the finished work and who we are in Christ. And Nabal died quickly, and David married Abigail, right? And she had an outward beauty. It says that in the beginning of the story, but she had an inward beauty of 1 Peter 3, and he wanted to be around her. He wanted her in his life because he saw that. He saw that. And so, like, we want people in our life who walk with God, who can speak higher, not just criticize us or call us out, but to come gently and come with the right approach and then lift us up where our mind is thinking with God. And we recognize, like, yeah, this person's from God, came to save me, actually, not just to put me down. And so let's respond when someone speaks higher things. Let's respond. Things above our emotions, above our reasonings, which are God's thoughts, are higher than our thoughts. As high as the heaven is, his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And let's encourage others. And let's guard our heart and be ready to receive encouragement when we know it's true. Like David heard those words and it was like, you know it's true. And he admitted it. He said, this is true. Like God sent you. And so, amen. Lord, I just pray that we can be like that. Lord, we can be like David and Abraham and people, heroes of the faith in Hebrews 11. We can walk by faith. And when we get the wrong mindset, I pray that you'll send Abigails to us and who love us and like will speak higher and that we'll be humble enough to receive it too. And that we'll also be those people to others when they need us, that we'll be gentle and come along and encourage them and build them up and speak to them who God says they are. And like at the moment of salvation, we're so many things. We're children of God. We're priests and kings. And we just lift you up. If there's anybody here who's never received God, you can't say, I'm a child of God. My sins have been forgiven. Just put your trust in God. Put your trust in him. Just call on him. He is holy. And he loves you so much. And he sent Jesus to die on the cross to pay for our sin. Just receive that for your own life this morning. We also pray that you'd bless our fellowship time together downstairs, bless the food, and encourage us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.